The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bachman. I appreciate that. Praise the Lord. What a great song. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As we talk about fulfilling the vision, you know, perhaps some have looked at 2017 and said, it's not the way I wanted it to turn out. I heard of a man, of course, he teed out up in the golf course area, and as he teed off in the golf course, he had a bad shot on that first one, came back to the tee for the second time, and he called out mulligan. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means it's a do-over, all right? And did you know sometimes we just want to do it over? We want to look back and say, okay, I'd like to just do it over. But you know, 2017, you can't do that. You just can't do it over. But what you can do in 2018 is to step out, learn from the mistakes of the past, and just decide you're going to go forward and be able to accomplish greater things. You can't live in regret. You can't live your life continually looking back and saying, well, I wish I woulda, I wish I woulda, I wish I woulda, I wish I woulda. If you spend all your life doing that, you will not accomplish anything for the present, and certainly you'll not have a good view of what the future could hold. And so we have to be a people that decides that we're going to look to those things that are before us, forgetting those things which are behind. And by the way, can I tell you, that's a great way to start the new year. It's a great way to be able to get up in the morning and say, well, you know, yesterday I didn't do so hot, but today's a new day. Last week I didn't do so hot, but it's a new week. Last month I didn't do so hot, but it's a great new month to start. Wow, you know, last year, it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to, but I got a brand new year ahead of me. And so let's talk about being able to pursue those visions. What can I do to be able to fulfill a vision in my life? God has given me a vision to be able to do something, if you would please, as a spouse. What can I do to be able to fulfill that? God has given me a vision, perhaps, to be able to be a better student. What can I do to fulfill that? God has given me a vision, maybe to step out and do something greater for God than I've ever done before. What can I do to be able to fulfill that? Let's notice, if you will, please, in our Bibles where you see this particular verse, and let's break it down, where he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Notice, if you will, please, the word I. That's personal. That means, as of course, Paul is writing a letter back to those that are at Philippi, and now it's a time of importance to him because I think he begins to reflect on his pedigree. He begins to remember that he was the Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was the Pharisee of the Pharisees. He remembers where he came from, and he remembers how God began to work in his life. And by the way, can I tell you, that's how God does. God is a very personal God, and God wants to do things in your life to be able to help your relationship with him get better, not worse, where you can please him more, not less, where you can step up and be able to step out and do what you're supposed to do in serving Jesus Christ. And so how is it that we can take and be an individual that fulfills our vision? Can I say statement number one, make it personal. Make it personal. Have a personal vision. What is it? By the way, if you don't have a personal vision, if you don't have a personal vision in your Bible reading, you'll probably not hit the goal. If you don't have a personal vision in your church attendance, you'll probably back off because you've not made it personal. If you don't have a personal vision in what you want to accomplish in every sphere of your life, you probably won't do it simply because you've not made it personal. Now, can I suggest something? Can I suggest that you get some personal goals in your life? I've given you a vision of the church, but can I ask you a question? What's your personal vision? What is your personal vision when it comes to your husband, wife, spouse, if you would please, relationship? What is your vision? Do you have a vision? Have you written down a vision that you want to accomplish between you and your husband or you and your wife? What is your vision for your child rearing this year? Could you do a better job? Is there something more that you could do? Is some things that you did do that you should not have done? Well, instead of living in regret, why don't you just go ahead and say, these are some new things I'm going to do. And by the way, it's never too late to start. It's better to start and try and fail than not to start at all. It's better to get out there and give it your very best than not to make an effort at all. You ought to be able to earn an A, just an effort. I said earn an A, just an effort. And by the way, husbands, when your wife tries, give her an A for effort. Amen. Listen to me, wives. When your husband tries, at least give him an A for effort. Can I say something to you, parents? You have a child that's really trying, but they keep stumbling over their feet and falling. Don't always be on their case. Give them a little bit of a reward for trying to do something. Okay? I'm saying this. I'm saying make it personal. Statement number two, make it physical. He said, I press. You know the word press, if you were to look it up and to run it through the Bible, it means this. It means to pursue. It means to follow hard after. It means to press toward. It has to do with that which is a physical persecution is what it has to do with. Matter of fact, it's used 43 times in the New Testament, and every single one of those times, with the exception of a few, does that word press come along with persecution. And so when God is using the word press, most of the times in the New Testament, out of the 43 times it's mentioned alongside of some type of persecution. All right? So can I tell you, sometimes it is persecution to beat your flesh into submission. Sometimes it is persecution to have to get up early and stay up late in order to accomplish the cause. Sometimes a person has to go through some persecution in standing for God at work. Sometimes you have to go through some persecution in living for God in your neighborhood. Sometimes you have to go through persecution in trying to be able to be a good Christian. Yes, even among your relatives and friends. All right? But God wants us to simply press. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 6, he says concerning zeal, he says persecuting the church, touching the righteous, which is in the law blameless. And so there was persecution that came with the pressing. Over in Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 12, the Bible says, not as though I have already obtained. It says, either it says we're already perfect, but follow after that which I may have apprehended, for the which, he says, I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. And so what's he talking about? He's talking about pursuing. Pursuing. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, our text verse, Paul said this. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's that pressing. There's that pursuing. There's that hard following after. There's a going forward. Now, can I say, if you and I are going to do anything for Jesus Christ, we're going to have to exert energy. We're going to have to decide that we're going to get in and we're going to do it. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 29, the Bible says, come on to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and lean, it says, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest, it says, unto your souls. But when do you find rest unto your souls? After you yoke up with him, after you come to him. In order to come to him, you have to get close to him. In order to get close to him, you have to pursue him. You have to be in hot pursuit after him, all right? So in order for me to be able, yes, even to get close to Christ, it takes effort. I have to put forth effort. Can I tell you, if something is not worth putting effort in, it is probably not worth doing at all. You and I ought to concentrate on how is it that we can press. So when it says the word I, when Paul is talking about that, I is personal. The press is physical. Watch this. He says the mark. Now that's precise. You know, he has got it in his sight, and he is precisely aiming at that which is the mark. You know, and so that mark is before him. That word mark there, I was talking to Mike Laughlin after the service, and we were talking out there in the lobby, and he said, you know, the future preacher is not just staring at the thing that's right in front of you. And he was sharing about how you look out, and as you look out into the future, you also take in everything that you're looking at way out there in between that which is way out there and that which is right here. It's just an automatic thing. And so when you look down the road and you're looking in the distance, that's not saying you're not paying attention to the immediate. It's just saying that you have a future look. It's saying that you have a vision. It's saying that you're looking out further than perhaps, yes, even the person. You know, by the way, when somebody's looking down the road further, that means they're probably planning on going there. If somebody's just looking right here, it's probably because you're looking to do something just in this narrow little way. Can I tell you, I said this morning, I'll say it again tonight. I believe the reason that most churches are drying up and dying is because they have no vision. I'd rather be in a church, dear friend, that has vision than a church that doesn't have any vision. I'd rather have a pastor that's going to shoot for a lot of things than a pastor that had a little vision was just going to shoot for a couple little things. You know, by the way, we do have a great God. I said, by the way, we do have a great God. And God is a God that can do mighty things. You said, but preacher, I don't believe it. Well, I don't want your faith to interrupt my faith. I want to be able to do some great things for God. I've only got one life, and soon it will be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. So I don't want to be somebody that says, well, I just don't think that we can run 10 buses. We already are. And by the way, can I tell you, about 4 years ago when I said, hey, there's going to be a day, I said there's going to be a day when we're going to run 10 buses. I had people come up to me and said, preacher, you really think so? You really think there's going to be a day when we're going to run 10 buses? Well, dear friend, we're already there. You know, can I tell you the same thing is true about a gym? The same thing is true. You know, I think you ought to get a hold of God and let God be the one that directs. And let God have the church. Yes, but let God have you inside the church. Amen. You let God work in your... Every teenager ought to have a vision. Every adult ought to have a vision. How is it that God could use you in 2018? Oh, you said, but God did not use me much in 2017. Okay, but 2017, friend, hey, wake up and smell it. It's gone. It's gone. You can't reach back into it. It's over. You know, I've been around people that said, well, I wish I was a child again. Oh, quit. You can't go back to 1932. It won't work. I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying that God can give you a vision. I'm saying that you ought to have a personal vision. You ought to have a mark. Get a mark in your life. Well, I'm just a teenager. I can't do much for God. I beg a difference with you. It was a teenager that led me to Christ, don't forget. You know, but you just don't understand, preacher. I can't do much for God. Oh, quit sucking your thumb. I'm saying this. I'm saying that God can give you a vision. You don't have to rely on your parents to walk with God. You're supposed to walk with God all by yourself. You're supposed to read the Bible all by yourself. There's going to have to come a day in your life, friend, when you grow up. Now, by the way, that's the same way it is for adults. Oh, I hear it all the time. Well, I'm not going to go do that. I'm not going to, you know, some of these men, oh, bless your heart and I love you, but you're walking out there and you're looking, who's going to sign up for the men's prayer breakfast this coming Saturday? Oh, it's early. Who's, you know, I mean, that's going to be a hard thing. Will you get up and go to work earlier than that on Monday? We got men walking outside there and looking at that thing and saying, well, so-and-so didn't sign up, so I guess because my friend... You don't need to hold somebody's hand. Amen. Look,
I'm saying this. I'm saying for you and I, there are some things that God can do in your life. There are some things that God can lead you in your life to accomplish. And I'm saying this tonight on the authority of the Word of God, that you ought to have some marks in your life, have some ultimate goals in your life. Don't wind up sitting around and doing nothing. If you don't have goals in your life, here's what the problem's going to be. You're always going to be looking inward. And you're going to be sucking your thumb. It's nasty. You're always going to be walking around saying, woe is me. Stop it. Well, I like that. I like that skit. You know, I mean, just stop. You just decide that you could take and just serve God. I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying that he said, I press. He said, toward the mark. What is that? I is personal. Pressing, that has to do with a physical exertation of that which is yourself. Precise, that's the mark that we're talking about. Let me give you this. There's the product. He says, for the prize. For the prize. For the prize. Can I tell you that sometimes your testimony has hurt you because it has preceded you. You say, preacher, I don't know what to do about that. I just don't know what to do about that. I've got a testimony, and my testimony has hurt me. It's preceded me. Then change your testimony. That's all you do. Instead of walking around being who you are that got you in trouble, then start walking around being what you should be to keep you out of trouble. I'm saying this tonight. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, he said, I fought a good fight. He said, I finished my course. He said, I kept the faith. Henceforth, it says, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that also, unto them also that love his appearing. And so he's saying this. He said, there's that prize. There's that prize. God's got a prize for you. Step out and accomplish the prize. Now, what is it? What is it? I was talking to Tammy Yao. Tammy has started taking art, and I was talking to her, and I'm following her a little bit with some of her drawings and stuff like that. And I stopped her before the service, and I said, man, you are doing a marvelous job. Now, what was it? She got a goal in front of her life. And she stepped out to be able to embrace that goal. And because of that, the outcome of it. I hear Travis. Travis gets up here, Brad Keane, along with many other piano players. But I watch Travis. Now, by the way, Travis is a very kind gentleman. Would never hurt anybody in his entire life. I mean, just very quiet, very mystique in the way he presents himself. But yet he gets up on that piano and he tears that thing up. I mean, his personality comes out all over the keyboard. Now, wait a minute. What is that? That is somebody that has decided to pursue. I've watched Brother Jeff Walters in the America for Christ ministry, and I've watched him, and he's got such a burden for the inner city such a desire to see people's lives changed in the inner city. And if you get around him very long, you're going to find out that dear brother is eat up with it. You know what has happened? I'm going to tell you what has happened. He has a prize before him. What is that? Oh, it's no royal crown. Oh, no, it's not. You know what it is tonight? I'll tell you what it is. It is the fulfillment of a burden. It is seeing somebody get saved, some little boy, some little girl, some teenager, some man, some woman, and he's got that before him, and he has a desire to see people come to know Christ as Savior. Hey, I'm saying this tonight. What is the prize that you have set forth before you in your life? Have you really served God to the capacity you want to serve God in 2017? Is there more you could do for God in 2018? Is there something that you could do for God that God has before you that you've always wanted to do for God, but you've never stepped out to do it for God? Hey, God can help you to do that. I'm saying this tonight and I'm done. There is that which is the person. He says, I. There's the physical, that's the press. There's the precise, that's the mark. There's the productiveness, that is the prize. Then may I say this, there's that which is the prestigiousness of the call. There's something prestigious about the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's something lofty about that. There's something, even though he uses the word high, there's just something prestigious about that that just makes you feel like you're accomplishing, stay with me, something special.
Right.
You know why? Because you cannot get any more special than the high calling of God in your life. No matter what that is, that might be for a young man that one day you'll pastor a church. I don't know. It might be that you'll be a doctor. It might be you'll be a lawyer. It might be you'll be a construction worker. It might be that you'll own your own business. It might be that you work in a factory. It might be that you become somebody that's a plumber. It might be somebody that's going to be an electrician. It might be somebody that becomes a receptionist. Might be somebody that's a secretary. Maybe a fireman or a policeman. Might be somebody that runs in a political office. Might be somebody that gives their talents for God and God uses you to be able to write music or to play music, to be able to encourage Christians to serve God and to stay faithful to the cause. I don't know what it is, friend, but I'll tell you this. Whatever God's calling is in your life, it's special. It's prestigious. Don't trade it in for something else. Oh, but you say, preacher, I can't do it. Oh, I beg a difference with you. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God is the one that can work in you, and God is the one. Don't ever say never. Oh, no, don't you ever do that. I was talking to Brother Stead. I called Brother Stead up, and while I was en route this morning, and I was coming in, as the buses were getting ready to pull out and whatnot, and as I was coming in, and I called Brother Stead, and I said, I heard that your dear wife's in the hospital again, and so tell me how she's doing. How's Mrs. Stead doing? And he began to talk, and then we had good fellowship on the way in. And as I was fellowshipping with him, he said, preacher, I sure am praying for the vision night. And I said, Brother Stead, thank you so much for that. And I said, you know, it's funny how God could take a boy that was an old Catholic boy many years ago and be able to use him in different foreign fields and be able to use him to be able to train soul winners and now be a pastor of the Parkside Baptist Church. May I say the great Parkside Baptist Church. You know, it's amazing what I see at God's doing. But there's nothing special about that. You know what is special? What is special is God would take a person that wants to be used of God, and he'll use that person. God is not looking for necessarily the ability. What God is looking for is the availability. God's looking for somebody that says, here I am, Lord. You know, the problem is most people don't do that. I found it to be true. Yes, even in the Christian realm, I found it to be true. You know, most people are so caught up in themselves, God can't use them. I mean, they're so, you know, I deserve this and I deserve that and praise me. And I'm going to say something about this boy right here, this man right here, 30 years of age. He's a man now and thought he was a man when he was 12, but he wasn't really a man then. But you know, he said, preacher, whatever you do, don't tell how many hours went into this, and don't pat me on the back or say anything about that. He said, I feel bad every time that you say something about me putting extra hours in or going the second mile. And I looked at him and I said, well, okay, thank you. And then I walked away and ignored everything he said. I mean, you know, people get up to sing, and I say, boy, that was great. Thank you for that. People play the piano, and I say, thank you for that. You did a great job. And people go out of their way and work on the buses, and I say, thank you for that. And in my heart, I think, if I can't say publicly thank you to my own son for doing extra work, then what type of daddy am I? Now, I'm saying this, that you need to decide that the work of God is prestigious. It ought to be for, I'm glad that we have a first-class auditorium. I'm glad we sacrifice. John Hamlin walked in here, and it was before it was finished, and he stood right here, and he said, this is absolutely marvelous. He said, most preachers would kill for an auditorium that's been remodeled this way. Shelton Smith stood behind here. He said, I want to be the first one to preach from this pulpit. And so he raised his voice, and he said a few words, and he said, there, I did it. You know, now can I tell you, I believe this. I believe that Parkside Baptist Church, I preach in churches. Brother Denton preaches in churches. Daniel Butler preaches in churches. And Brother Tomley preaches in churches. And Brother Polywathical preaches in churches. And Mike Lofton from time to time would travel and preach in churches. And these fellows would sometimes leave me and go preach in a church and do that. And other staff members would do that. Brother Walters travels sometimes and preaches in church. Hey, can I tell you? Hey, Church of God. Hey, Parkside Baptist Church, we got it pretty good right here. God's been good to us. Now let's keep the old fire burning. Let's decide we're going to do something for God. I believe there needs to be some churches that will rise up and say, you don't have to be liberal, and you don't have to drop your standards, and you don't have to go the way of the world to do something for God. There needs to be some churches that young people can look to, that kids that want to go to Bible college can say, that's the place I'm going to go. And can I tell you, it ought to be this place. I'm saying tonight, get a vision. Get a vision of what God could do in you. Don't let somebody trip you up. Can I tell you this? John Hamlin told me this. He said, preacher, he said, the higher you rise, it's true, I already knew it because I've already been down that path. But he said, the higher you rise, the more you get shot at. Boy, it's so true. You'd be amazed at the letters I get. You'll be amazed the books on doctrine that is sent to me by Church of Christ and all sorts of people, you know. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed the nasty emails I get. Man, it shocked the fire out of you. But can I tell you? So what do you do about those things? Oh, it's called delete. You don't let that stuff get under your skin. By the way, If you understand who you are, there's only room enough for one person under your skin. You. Don't let somebody else try and crawl up underneath your skin. Can I tell you, we got people in this room, and I'm done. This is my rabbit trail, but I'm enjoying it. But did you know this? We got people in this room that don't like each other. I tell you the truth. Yeah. They won't treat each other to coffee. But they'll take me out individually and treat me to coffee. But you know, it would be good for people at Parkside Baptist Church to forgive each other and serve each other. Well, sure it would. You know what else would be good? It'd be good for people in this church to pray for each other. Amen. When you see somebody discouraged, oh, get off your high horse. Amen. Well, you just don't know who I am. Yeah, that's the problem. I do. Get off your high horse and come down and sit with us that are the rest of the sinners. You know, and serve people, love people, help people. Well, you know, they're just not my type. Yeah, and so-and-so's not your type, and so-and-so's not your type, and so-and-so's not your type. Before you know it, you're not going to have a type because there's no type like your type. Now, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying, look, get yourself a vision. What could you do to help someone? What could you do to be able to encourage someone? Hey, what would be wrong going up to somebody and say, man, I'm glad you're here tonight. Thank you for coming. I'm proud of you. What'd be wrong with that? He might need that in his life, you know. What'd be wrong to say, man, I watched you. You know, you turned out to be pretty sharp. Proud of you. What'd be wrong with that? You know, I've watched you too. You got that smile. Yeah, that one right there. You got that little giggle going on. Every time you smile at me and I said, hope you never lose it, man. You stay right with it. You know, everybody needs that. I have little kids in the church, and let me be your pastor for a minute, but I got little kids in the church, and boy, they'll come up to me, and I'll say, man, you sure do look sharp. They'll go like this. I'll shake their hand, then they'll come up and grab my knee. They're about that high. They grab my knee. They just hold on. They squeeze it real hard. I pat them on their head. I appreciate that. Sure do love you. Sure I'm proud of you. Obey mom and daddy, okay? We'll shake hands and they'll... Little kids, come by my office. It's really neat. And by the way, don't ever be afraid for your kid to all of a sudden run in my office. That office door is open. That's perfectly fine. Other little kids do it. They come in the office, and some of them come in the office because they think I have candy. I have one little boy that comes to my office. I tell you the truth. One little boy, every time he comes to my office, he comes in and he stares at the horse. It's not Andrew. Andrew stares at the horse too, but this little boy comes to my office. I've got a little horse that sits on the corner of my desk. He'll come in the office and he'll say, "Preacher, can I pet your horse?" I'll say, "Sure." He comes over and he pets the horse. He goes, "Nice horse." And he'll say, "Bye, preacher." He'll take off. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, allow your children to be children. Allow your children to have a pastor too. I'm saying this and I'm done. There's the calling. The calling is prestigious. It's prestigious. Never wanted to be a preacher. Never. Wanted to go to Bible college, learn the Bible, get out. I wanted to be a police officer. I had my beat picked out. Baltimore City, Maryland, is where my dad got mugged walking down the alley one night as he left the Maryland National Bank. And I said, "Dad, when I become a police officer, you'll never get mugged again." He said, "Well, thanks, Michael. I appreciate that." I went to Bible college not to be a preacher. I didn't want to be a preacher. Sometimes today, I don't want to be a preacher. But I didn't go to Bible college to be a preacher. I went to learn the Bible. I knew nothing. I know more than nothing today, and I'm thankful for that. And God has used me in the ministry a little bit here and there. And can I tell you this? When God called me to preach, I looked up in heaven and said, "You don't want me. You can't use me. I stutter. I stammer. Sometimes I'll read over words. They're there, but I'm in a hurry, and so my eyes skip over them. You don't want me." See, God, here's the deal. If I preach for you, I'm going to embarrass you. You don't want somebody like me to embarrass you because you're better than that. So don't ask me to preach. You get these other guys walking around. They know the Hebrew. They know the Greek, frontwards and backwards, upside down, inside out. You use those guys, not me. He just kept working on my heart, working on my heart, working on my heart. You know how God is, don't you? You ever had a personal deal with God? He starts squeezing you and squeezing you and squeezing you and and you can't sleep at night. He's squeezing you and squeezing you until finally I said, "Okay, all right, make you a deal. If you stop squeezing, I'll say yes." So I said yes. I did. I said, "Okay, I'll preach." They said, "You're supposed to go forward." I went forward. I told the pastor of the church, "God's called me to preach." He said, he wasn't excited. He said, "Okay." Stood beside him in church. We averaged about 1,500 every Sunday night. Stood beside him in church. People came by, shook the hand. "Congratulations, Mike. Congratulations, Mike. God bless you. Congratulations." I thought, great, I'm done. I'm done, man. Yeah, God called me to preach. I said I was going to do it. He's going to leave me alone. Now I can get back to studying, and I'm going to graduate and be a police officer. I mean, you know, I surrendered, right? But I didn't know that when you surrender, God wants you to do what you surrendered to do. So I said, "Now, God, come on." Two guys came up. I never forget it. Two guys came up to my dorm room on a Wednesday night and said, "Guess what, Mike, you're preaching tonight." I said, "You're crazy tonight." "I'm not preaching." They said, "No, yes, you are. We've got a spot for you. It's at a rescue mission." I said, I can't rescue those people. I'm not preaching. They said, "Yes, you are. If we have to knock you out and drag you down the steps, you're preaching tonight." I said, I'm not preaching. They said, "Let's go." One grabbed my Bible. The other one grabbed me. We go down the steps. We get in the car. I sit in the back seat of the car. One guy sits on one side of me. Other guy sits on the other side of me. The other guy drives. See, why'd they do that? Because I was getting out if I had a chance. Went down to the rescue mission. Two guys sat beside me in the back. There was the song. They sang. These two guys walked me up. One guy introduced me. The other guys are standing behind me like bodyguards. They walked me up to the pulpit, and that night I preached for about, maybe 7 minutes or so. I preached on Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. When I got done preaching, I mean, that's all I did, one verse. When I got done preaching about the gift of God, man, there were some guys, I know there's already under conviction. These guys came forward. Three of them started crying. And they said, that's what I need. That's what I need. I'm thinking, what do you need? That's what I need. I need to be saved. They got saved. That night I started thinking, I could have had handcuffs. I could have had a gun. I could have had a club. I could have had a blue outfit. And I could have had a badge. It said Baltimore City Police. And I got thinking about that. And I thought this, God, if this is what you have for my life, those guys got saved tonight, I'll give the rest of my life to seeing people get saved and helped. Amen. And I truly surrendered that night. That's when it all started. Now, can I tell you this? Can I tell you God's got a will for your life? God just wants you to be willing to do His will. What vision has God placed inside of you for 2018? What could you do for God in 2018? Father, we thank you for tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.